is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And it is Free for All Friday. Welcome aboard, my friends. Glad to have you here. Just big patches of fog over big portions of southern Michigan. Keep that in mind today. Visibility ugly in some places. Just letting you know. Rest of the state, smooth sailing. Get out there and get it done. It's Free for All Friday, which means 888-900-9966. You can get involved. 888-900-9966. You can get involved. Become somebody. Have your voice heard all over the state. Today's Earth Day, as you know, April the 22nd. Earth Day. We'll get to that in a moment. Don't forget about our big event later today. You're invited. No matter where you are, you can near and far, you can make your way to the Earth Day barbecue celebration. It's also Vladimir Lenin's birthday. You know, the guy who really showed us what socialism and Marxism and communism are really all about. Murder and plunder and control. He was born on Earth Day, April the 22nd. Do you think that's a coincidence? I'm sure you know by now that pop star and worldwide celebrity Prince is dead at the age of 57. His body found at the estate in Minnesota earlier yesterday. Police were treating it as a crime scene, but that should not imply a crime has been committed. At least not at this point. His body found inside an elevator. He was unresponsive. They were unable to resuscitate him. And I'm sure you know that Prince died because just like every time a celebrity dies in America, it becomes the only story on the air. Let me give you an example of yesterday. At about 2 in the afternoon, I decided to watch CNN for a little bit to see if they knew anything about what had happened. And so I sat and watched for a minute and I saw they had not even come up for air for the first 39 minutes. Not one other story, not one mention of anything else going on around the world. It was solid Prince coverage and I was 39 minutes in. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Prince was a cutting edge, incredibly talented musician, songwriter, singer, and frankly, one of the best guitar players I've ever seen. That guy could rip it. He could shred that guitar. Songs like When Doves Cry, Tonight I'm Gonna Party Like It's 1999, Purple Rain, and Little Red Corvette are among others considered to be classics by millions of people. Then I looked up and it had been 51 minutes of continuous coverage. And it looked to me at that time like they were just getting warmed up. They had kids in the back room, they probably still do, mining for Prince videos, interviews, photographs. And anyone who had ever had a conversation with the guy. I guess when a celebrity dies, CNN becomes oblivious of any other news stories of interest of the day. So I thought about that for a minute, and I thought I'd come up with a list that maybe I could help them next time there's a celebrity that dies in Hollywood. They could not lose perspective and focus. Here are some stories that CNN could have covered while covering the death of Prince. And by the way, CNN is still giving continuous coverage to Prince at this hour. But there are currently, if you hadn't heard, wars in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Poverty is claiming the lives of thousands of starving children in Africa. That'll be just today. America is going broke and could soon spiral into a debt crisis. Not to mention the contentious battle for the White House that's going on. There have been 3 people arrested in the Flint water crisis, with more on the way. The Zika virus could spread farther north and into the United States as we head into summer. Russia is buzzing American ships with jet fighters, and China, well, it's claiming man-made islands in the South Pacific give them brand new sovereign territory. ISIS, Boko Haram, and Al-Qaeda are trying to get their hands on the nuclear material to make dirty bombs so they can attack Europe and the U.S., while at the same time, they turn non-believers into sex slaves for life. At that point, I had seen more than an hour of continuous coverage without a single break. Not one of these other stories had any significance or will ever have any significance when a member of the pop culture elite dies. At what point does it become absurd? I sat there watching for more than an hour. The anchors were repeating themselves because the news was the same. Prince was still dead. He was still 57, and they really had no other news. And that's really all they said. The rest is just filler. But I can guarantee you this, having worked inside those environments, those in charge of those news operations were celebrating. Because this will give them something to talk about, guaranteed something to talk about, a great story to talk about 24 hours a day for the next several days. There'll be the investigation. There'll be the wake. There'll be the conversations with every childhood friend, school teacher, and of course all the other pop culture elite to give comments and make commentary on his life and legacy. They'll beat that over and over. Meanwhile, more school kids will get gunned down on the south side of Chicago while walking home from school. Teenage gangbangers will try to kill a rival gang member in a turf war, and they'll kill these kids, and nobody will care because no crew will show up from the news department at all. Why? Because they're covering Prince. A few hundred more veterans will fail to see a doctor today, despite the gravity of their situation with failing health because of a broken VA system. Nobody will hear about that. They won't hear about the new invasion at our southern border, where agents are reporting 1,200% surges in illegals brazenly crossing into our country. They won't hear about that. What people get a chance to hear is from yet another friend of the dead pop star telling us about a party they went to back in the 1980s and how he was the hottest, freshest thing in music and how he'll be so dearly missed. Well, let me tell you something. The school kids dead in Chicago will be dearly missed as well. But nobody will ever hear about them or the veterans or the sex slaves or the starving or the war-torn. No, not today. Today, the only thing that matters is that a member of the pop culture elite died. And we honestly wonder what's wrong with this nation. How about this for an idea? Maybe our priorities are out of whack. I gave it 77 minutes, by the way, yesterday. 77 minutes of continuous coverage with nothing new except that Prince had passed away, which is a terrible thing to have happen. But does it warrant continuous wall-to-wall coverage? Our priorities, my friend, are out of whack. Free for all Friday on the Steve Gruber Show.
Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
I lit up from Reno, I was trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out one, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just like
it. All right, it's 18 after. Let's talk Earth Day, shall we? Can we do that? Can we talk Earth Day for a minute here? Earth Day began in 1970. First promoted by a guy who is now serving a life in prison. Well, because he slaughtered his girlfriend and then he let her compost in a trunk inside his apartment for about 18 months. No, it's true. No, you can go ahead and, yeah. Ira Einhorn, you can look him up. He's one of the founders of Earth Day. They've tried to make him disappear, but he's real. We'll get back to that later. Earth Day was started as and is today a symbol of what is wrong with America and capitalism. That's really what it was about. It was started to say that we use too much. We're too greedy. We're Americans. We use too much. We live too high on the hog. We're too rich. And it's got to stop. Well, I'm going to give you my perspective now. I'm the host of the longest running television series on the Outdoor Channel. Me. Outdoor America has been on the air since 1994. I have hosted hundreds and hundreds of television episodes, hunting and fishing and walking and hiking all over the world. I've walked in Africa, Central and South America. I've been in all 50 states. I'm pretty sure I've stepped foot in all 10 Canadian provinces, plus the Northwest and Yukon territories as well. I've been to the South Pacific to New Zealand. I've been in Europe. I've traveled some. And mostly when I travel, it's not on concrete. When I travel, I go get dirty because I'm trying to catch a fish or outwit some creature that's out there in front of me with a muzzleloader or a bow and arrow. When it comes to the environment, I think it's safe to say I am the expert. Believe me. You will meet few people in your life that have spent more time working and living in the outdoors than me. I feed what I catch and kill to my family. So therefore, nobody is more interested in the quality of the air, the water, or the soil than me or somebody like me. Nobody. We eat this stuff. Venison, which I like to call free-range organic red meat, from deer and elk and moose. We eat walleye and salmon, hard-fighting trout, from the Great Lakes to the Great Rocky Mountains to the deep, clear lakes of New Zealand. When it comes to the greatest, cleanest, greenest place on earth, my friends, this is it. Anyone who tries to tell you differently is wrong or ignorant or willfully stupid in the name of some political party that has their brains and, frankly, their balls in one hand. This thing we call Mother Earth is a resilient and giving orb. She can endure far more than we've ever thrown her way, and she can wash us away with little notice. Or have you forgotten things like the tsunami a few years ago, or Katrina, or Sandy? I'm here to tell you on this Earth Day that the Earth that we're standing on is alive and well. Now, make no mistake. We could spend more time cleaning up a few rough spots, a few nasty areas. But those places that need attention are most likely found in India, or China, or Mexico. When I walk around America, from Iowa to Montana to Michigan, I can tell you what we need to do here is lead the world in best practices. And we don't do that by unplugging power plants that are not the problem so we can sit in the dark and consider how to save the world. That is such an obvious political strategy. It is dumbfounding to me that so many fall for it so willingly. I've said this a bit over the last few days, but I'm going to ask you again, seriously, can you point to one thing in your life, not something on TV, but something in your life, something from your personal experience that says, hey, there's something really wrong with the environment? I've pointed to the Great Lakes, the Mississippi Delta, as wonderful examples of the glorious nature of global warming, but the activists just don't get it. They say, but, the seas are rising and the deserts are growing and the storms are getting worse. Really? Where? There is no documented sea change that cannot be disproven by the fact that, well, land erodes. The seas have not risen dramatically anywhere. The land has washed away. Go ask the folks that live on Cape Cod. Deserts growing and shifting? Well, yes, that's true. It has been since the beginning of time. Remember a few years ago when the big scare, well, one of them anyhow, was Atlanta, Georgia running out of water? The reservoir was going to go dry. Yeah, well, that's turned around. So has the so-called epic drought of California. But I'll bet you didn't hear about all the record snowfalls in the mountains of Northern California in early March on the nightly news, did you? They had a couple of snowstorms that totaled 8 feet. I have been all over the world. I'm here to tell you America is not the problem. And the other challenges can be solved, but not by clubbing hardworking people into the ground and telling their kids in Michigan to use less water when they brush their teeth. Really? We live in Michigan. Water is not the problem here. Now, are there things that can be done? Yes. When you talk about India or China, you have trash problems that can be dealt with if American practices are put into play. We lead the world in clean, green, and environmentally friendly science. That's what we do. So on this Earth Day, reflect on this. Reflect on the fact that we have the greatest national parks, the greatest wild lands in the world, and the best practices to help the rest of the world. But we don't unplug ourselves and make ourselves susceptible to energy poverty. That gets us nowhere. We need to move forward, not backward, my friends. Free for All Friday.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
First thing I remember was asking Papa why.
Really come as much surprise, all these stories recently about Saudi Arabia's involvement in 9/11. I mean, what was it, 16 of the 19 hijackers that took out the World Trade Center and so forth that day in 2001 were Saudi Arabians, and it's always been something conveniently swept under the rug or kept at arm's length and not talked about. I mean, it's not a surprise to me and probably not to you. And Saudi Arabia's reaction that the United States might release 28 pages that have been, well, kept from the public all these years. Saudi Arabia threatening to strike back. Dan Perkins, our next guest, an Islamic historian, terrorism analyst, and contributor to ReaganBaby.com. Dan, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Steve, and thanks for having me on for such a short period of time.
So this is a, this is a big story. Well, we have you here because you know what you're talking about. I mean, let's just get to it.
I appreciate that.
I mean, you cover the material, so I try to get the best people to answer the questions. You know, it's kind of what we do here.
Thank you. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
We want the best resources for our listeners. Anyhow, Saudi Arabia threatening to, you know, sell American debt to basically wage financial war on America if we dare tell the truth about how deeply involved the Saudi government may have been with everything that happened on 9/11 and thereafter, the cover-up and so forth. Tell me more.
Actually, you're right. I did write a piece. It was published, I think, Monday evening, and I'm basically saying they're trying to blackmail us. But if I can just say from my money management side, the $750 billion they're talking about, when that first came out last week, I went and researched it, and OPEC as a group of all the OPEC nations together own about $225 billion worth of U.S. government debt, according to both the Federal Reserve and the Department of Treasury. Now, our wonderful president has created the opportunity to create $19 trillion of debt. So Saudi Arabia's share of the $250 billion is a modest percentage. So the amount of money that they could sell in treasuries could probably be absorbed in about 30 minutes in the U.S. markets. So it was interesting that last night Bill O'Reilly was talking about this very subject and the dollar amount, and he was saying it's a lot of money. In reality, Steve, it's not a lot of money. It's more about trying to influence the people who don't know as much or understand how the capital markets work, that this is bogus. On top of that, there are some people, and I'm one of them who subscribe to it, they're going to sell it anyway because they saw what happened when the Supreme Court, on a 6-2 decision this week, decided to award the families of the Marines who were killed in Lebanon under terrorist-sponsored state, Iran, $2.5 billion, and the money was already in the U.S. banks. So Saudi Arabia being concerned about being sued is more interested in taking their money out of the country, not because they want to try and influence politics. They're afraid it would be sequestered by the U.S. government.
Really? So tell me more about that. Why sequestered by the U.S. government? And here's the thing.
Yes.
You look at what's going on with Saudi Arabia, and they're making these threats, and maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. But it sure would damage the credibility of the House of Saud if the truth were known. Let's be honest. A lot of these hijackers from 9/11 were spoiled rich kids. Spoiled rich kids, some of which had come to the United States for their education before going home, getting daddy's money, and becoming terrorists. I mean, that's pretty accurate, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's part of the challenge now, because what's happening, Saudi Arabia is very angry with the United States because our president, who I believe is probably Shia, has favored that Iran should become a co-partner with Saudi Arabia in governing the Middle East. And Saudi Arabia has been the governing force for decades. So they're really angry at him, what he did in Iran, and what he did with the nuclear situation, creating the potential for Iran to get nuclear weapons. Then you had Iran 2 weekends ago tested a ballistic missile, and Secretary Kerry said to the Iranian leader, well, we should talk about that. And the Iranian leader basically said to Kerry, we don't have anything to talk about, just go away. So that this whole destabilization of the Middle East is part of the strategy of the Obama administration, or lack thereof, that even the president said in his interview with Chris Wallace a couple of weekends ago, one of his greatest disappointments of his administration is that they didn't have any idea who the next person was going to be when they took out Muammar Gaddafi from Libya. So I'm saying, wait a minute, if you don't know who the successor is going to be, you better find out before you take out the one guy, because the guy coming after him may be worse than the guy you're taking out, which is what we saw in Egypt, what they're doing in Syria.
Well, yeah, clearly, you know, it's the devil you know for the devil you don't. And that's an old saying, but it really is true.
Sir.
It really is true, especially in world politics. I mean, you know what Gaddafi was about, and he wasn't really much of a problem at all. Looking back at Saddam Hussein, yeah, he was a dictator, but he didn't let ISIS exist. He didn't let Al-Qaeda run wild in Iraq. He didn't let these things go on. So did we move the ball forward? No. Most people at this point would say, no, we really did not move the ball forward. In fact, we made a colossal error in going in there the way we did. Go on.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Sure.
Based on what you know, do you believe that the Saudi government has already seen the 28 pages?
It's a very likely thing. Well, if they haven't seen them, they know what's in there. I mean, it doesn't matter if they've seen the actual text to know what it contains. So it makes no difference either way. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But they would know what it would contain anyway, because they know what they've been part and parcel to, I would say. They know what they've been up to.
Right.
They know what they've hidden. And maybe they don't know what's on the pages. And maybe that's more upsetting, because there could be things there that would really be bad, that they're not sure which things are written on those pages. I don't know. What do you think?
Right. Oh, I think they know what's they have a pretty good idea what's on the pages. I think you're right in your synopsis that there's a possibility there may be a thing on those 28 pages that they didn't realize would be on the pages.
But yeah, we might know something they don't realize. I mean, that's the real wild card. Maybe we know something deep and dark that they don't even realize we have had access to. That's another possibility.
Right. So then the final question becomes to you, Steve. Do you think that the American people have the right to know what's in those documents?
Absolutely. We were attacked by foreign fighters. We absolutely have the right to know what its evolution was, where it came from, what its foundation was, why we were attacked, who supported it, who paid for it, who was behind it, who covered it up. We deserve to know all of those things, and maybe that would be enough to enlighten the young people of this country that, hey, we don't all get to, you know, hug each other and sing kumbaya. There are people out there that would like to kill you, me, and your dog to boot. I mean, maybe the young people would wake up if they knew the truth. I'll give you the final word.
I think you're right. I think that this could be one of the wake-up calls that I've been looking for, that will focus the American people on the reality of the world that our current president has left us, and the mess he's left us with.
Dan Perkins, thank you.
Anytime, sir.
Read more. Always a pleasure. Read more at ReaganBaby.com with Dan Perkins. It's Free for All Friday.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
She stood in the street, smiling from her head to her.
Welcome back to Free for All Friday. Welcome back to it. The golden age of communication. You know, one of the things that Americans have done better than anyone else is push the world forward with transportation, medication, communication like smartphones and computers and the internet. These things are all, you know, they're all wonderful ways to move forward. But you have all these electronic devices out there, and as you know, they can be compromised. You can be scammed. Your information can be skimmed. And what about, you know, ATMs skimming money? Our next guest has a thing or two to say about that. Dr. GM Cox here. Sir, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. You're the director of public administration with a master's degree program there at the Tarleton State University in Fort Worth, Texas. Hey, is it raining or is it over?
It's quite nice right now, but we had a lot of rain the last few days.
Yeah, I heard about that. You know, sorry about that.
No problem.
So give me an idea. I mean, it's a great world of because of communications. And, you know, my father said when he was alive here years ago that people complained about back then the $2 ATM fees. And he said, you know, why would somebody complain about that? The bank is making money available to you all over the world. And you complain about a $2 convenience fee to pick up because you weren't smart enough to take enough money with you, he would say.
I would agree with him.
Yeah, I would agree with him. And the bank deserves to make a couple of bucks to make it convenient for you, but there are some dangers out there as well. Tell us about that.
Oh, there's huge dangers in ATMs. As you said, Steve, they're hugely convenient, which tends to create in ourselves a contemptuous use of them. We just feel it look like it. Oh, here, take my plastic and use it. And so people, criminals specifically, have figured out a way to skim your information and basically steal your identity and get into your checking account and steal your money.
So they're not stealing cash per se out of the ATM machine. They're making future investments on stealing your money.
Yes, but they have, for instance, some of the skimming devices can actually record your PIN. So once they record your PIN, they now have access directly into your checking account. And some people have lost every bit of the money in their account. That will probably be reinstated by the bank, but no telling how many checks or pre-authorized payments are going to be bounced because of that action.
So what can you do about it? I mean, here's the thing. We've created all of these cards, all of this technology, and people believe that these things are safe. I mean, it took people years to use the internet to buy things, but of course that works now. People trust it enough. And apparently there's not enough thievery going on to scare everybody, but what do we do?
I'd say the first thing, this is what I recommend to all my friends, and when I was still in that chief of police and all these victims would call, what can I do, chief? I would say, number one, quit using your ATM card to make purchases of anything, period, anywhere. That's not to mean that it's just a preemptive strike, in my opinion, to get a credit card, particularly one that pays cash back or points. Put everything on the credit card, and here's where the catch is. You got to be disciplined, and you got to pay off that balance every month. Otherwise, 1 month of interest on that would wipe out an entire year's earnings. But here's the thing. If they do skim or they hijack your credit card, the person or the entity that's out the money is the bank, not you. Here's what I recommend on the ATM card. Only use your ATM card at your home bank if you can. If you can't, make sure you go to a place that's in public, videoed by the institution, and then check the face of that ATM to see if it's been scammed or tampered with. If it has, pass it by. Go with your intuition, your gut feeling, and leave it alone.
Yeah. So I also see these cards get scammed. Here locally, it happened several times here in the last, over the summer, really, of last summer.
Mm-hmm.
But your gas pump.
Right.
The gas pump, somehow the thieves were putting these scanners inside the gas pump when nobody was looking. They'd get that thing open. They'd put a little device of some sort in there. I don't know. Honestly, know what it looks like because, honestly, I got other things to do besides steal people's gas card money, which, you know, is weird, right?
Right.
But, okay, where else? You've got the gas machine. You've got the ATM machine. What else should we be concerned with?
Well, in this case, I would, if you're going to use your ATM card, you've got no choice, then try to use the credit feature of the ATM card. Avoid putting your PIN. The PIN is very sensitive, and if collected by a skimmer, a criminal, then they're going to use that PIN number to access your account. But my biggest thing, one of the things you can do that is make sure you don't run out of money. So make sure you have some cash on you. You'll never know when the World Wide Web goes down and your card will be worthless. Now your even your ATM card won't work. It just makes good sense to have some cash on you. But I'd also use the credit reporting. Everybody gets a free credit report every year. Make sure you check that. Make sure that someone hasn't already stolen your identity, has created credit card accounts in your name, and then you're going to be held responsible for the bad credit.
No matter what happens, I don't get out of that.
You know, yeah, you can get out of it. It's very difficult. They estimate that to recover your identity once it's stolen, anywhere from $4,000 to $5,000, and sometimes, and many people don't have the expertise to recover their identity, so you have to pay someone to do that. There are many companies out there that charge money for that, a monthly premium. I don't know. I've never done those, and I recommend using common sense and using your credit card and your ATM card. My ATM card never comes out of my pocket or my billfold unless I am getting money at my own ATM. Never. I've never used it.
Doesn't come out. So
it does not come out of my pocket. I use your credit card. I use credit card for everything. I still carry cash. Every once in a while, I'll use cash instead of the credit card, but I use that credit card.
All right.
Then I get monthly premiums from that, a check.
Well, that's pretty good. I like that idea. Doctor, I have to run, but good information. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
All right, sir. Dr. GM Cox here on Free For All Friday.